You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
And the reason Jonas is in here is because Noodles is on the road. He's in Ottawa calling a Leaf game tonight. Leaf sends on TSN 4 and on TSN 5. So the panel's up and running tonight. You can hear the game on TSN 1050. And our hockey insider, Darren Dreger, is in studio. What's up, Dregs?
Yeah, you know, just another beautiful day in Ontario. No complaints.
It is a beautiful day in Ontario. You're right.
It's got that little fall feel to it.
A bit.
Cooled down a little bit today.
Yeah. I love it. Love it.
It's getting hot again, though, tomorrow, I think. Did I see 29 thunder showers?
I'll take it, man. Embrace it while you can. In a month, we'll be complaining. And it feels like hockey weather, and hockey's off and running. And the Leafs, they played last night, as we know. They won. The outcome is irrelevant. It's preseason, but Tavares looked real good. Marner looked real good.
Yeah.
Did you catch Babcock making sure that Hyman got a shout-out during the post-game presser?
Of course.
Like, he loves Hyman that much, doesn't he?
He loves him.
Yeah, and he should. I love Hyman. Everyone loves Hyman. But Babcock, he's not going to let these guys get too much publicity.
Wow.
Right?
No, he's not. And he's going to make sure guys like that are, at times, even overappreciated. I mean, as hockey fans, we can see what, you know, Zach Hyman brings to the team, or Connor Brown, in terms of the energy, the work ethic, all of those things. And that's what Babcock, he loves the Stars, of course, because they're game breakers. They can be the difference between a win and a loss. But you put a handful of Stars and the rest just meat and potatoes, energy guys, and Mike Babcock's a happy man.
Right, and that's pretty much what he has. I mean, Josh Levo, I don't know how to describe what type of player he is, but he looked pretty good last night. And
I'll tell you what, he looked like an NHL player. I don't know if he's going to play here or what, but he's playing in the NHL somewhere.
Well, and that's an important point. If it's not in Toronto, come on, guys, cut bait. You know, let this guy out of jail. Like, he's got an opportunity. You know, Nylander's not there, so everybody kind of moves up the rung of the ladder. And last night he's playing in a top six spot for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, you know, whether it's with the Leafs at a bargain at 900 and change, or he does enough in his time remaining in Toronto that he gets another look. There was all kinds of trade talk. You know, he was hopeful, I'm sure, that he was going to be traded, but things open up. And again, he's got an opportunity here to perhaps make the team on a full-time basis.
Well, would that be Babcock or Dubas making that call?
Like, on which?
On if Levo's making the team, if he's going to play.
If, like, he's going to be an extra, aren't you just putting him in the same situation he's been in for 3 years?
Yeah.
But, you look at, like, their depth beyond the NHL, there's not a ton of guys that you can look at and say, I know for sure that guy can be called upon.
Right.
If there's an injury. And then that being said, Josh Levo's played 41 games in 3 years, and it's clear Mike Babcock isn't a fan.
What I know, and look, this is going to sound like I don't think Lou Lamoriello's a good guy, and I don't mean that at all. I think that Kyle Dubas has a deeper appreciation for the player moving forward, and certainly more flexibility to maybe do what's right by that player. You know, Josh Levo has been nothing but a good Toronto Maple Leaf in his time inside the organization. So, I mean, if he's not a fit at the NHL level, I can't imagine they don't at least try and find him a better home.
What about the defensive side of things, where that is a true battle, and Travis Dermott got banged up and he didn't practice today? I think he'll be okay. I'm sure he'll be there for opening night. But Igor Ozyganov made his debut last night. Babcock was complimenting his game post-game. Justin Hall, I thought, looked pretty comfortable. 27, won a Calder last year, came up for a couple of games with the Leafs. Connor Carrick is 24. He's been around for a while. Someone's got to play on that third pairing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone had Carrick, I think, penciled in, but I don't think that's a lock by
any
stretch.
No, I look at, I mean,
Odogunov.
Yeah. I mean, that was my intel coming into training camp was, keep in mind, again, Odogunov is a 26-year-old man. You know, he's not a developing player. Now, he's got to learn, you know, the North American, the NHL game, but he was the guy, I'm told, that the Leafs had penciled in. In pencil, not in pen, to say it's essentially his job, but he's going to have to earn it, and he's going to have to make his way. And I want to raise a caution flag, because last year at this time, and for how many games, Jonas, of the regular season, where we watched Borgman and we watched Rosen play, and, you know, it seemed likely because, you know, Babcock and the Maple Leafs had brought these guys off a scrap heap in Europe somewhere that they had to find roles in the NHL, and It just didn't work out that way. Now, Borgman's got, you know, some upside to him, I think. And Rosen, we haven't probably seen the last of at the NHL level. But you got to be careful. And these players do need some time. So, Ozhiganov is the player that they'd like to see fit into that top six, but he's got to earn it.
Yeah, and what we've noticed the past couple of years, who's on the team and playing games in October will not necessarily be on the team in April. Right, like Travis Dermott, I thought he had a good camp last year. I just assumed he'd make the team, and they sent him down.
Yeah,
but obviously they were planning on him continuing to grow and get some time in the American Hockey League, and eventually they called him up, and he
looks
never left.
Looks good to me.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe they do that with Ozhiganov.
Yeah.
You send him down, and he can go to the minors. You say, go play 20 games with the Marlies and figure out the North American game, and we'll call you up around Christmas time.
See, you know, the one thing that I get consistently from other NHL clubs, though, is the depth now of the organization in Toronto. And, you know, it's more of a cap issue now if you look into, you know, Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner extending, and obviously Willie Nylander. You know, obviously there's going to be some tough decisions that have to be made moving forward. But if Toronto is in the early stages of a very good run, like Babcock likes to describe, man, they've got the assets, not just at the NHL level, but certainly with the Toronto Marlies. They could put a real sweet package together now for something that, as long as it fits in your cap, you know, whether it's this year or next year, whenever you feel like you're that team, you're ready to make a real run for it. They've got depth. I mean, we look at the goaltending, and there's no questioning Freddie Anderson, but you know, what spark's going to be? And at what point, you know, are you better suited to keep what you have in Curtis McIlhenny because he knows the role better than anyone of being a backup and he gets along great with Freddie? Well, then what's the purpose of sparks with the Marlies? I mean, there's got to be enough interest.
If he doesn't get a shot after last year, then he's not getting a shot here.
Oh, and which is fine.
And that doesn't,
there's nothing wrong with that, but then package him with something that's going to bring something back that's going to make
you better. But goalies don't get you anything. Especially goalies who have no track record in the NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the question. What kind of market is out there?
There's got to be a need. You're right.
And if they're going to place him on waivers, why wouldn't you be like, I'll just pick him up off waivers?
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
If it's going to get to that point. If McIlhenny gets the job, then unless they keep three goalies, and I don't see
somebody
them doing
gets
that.
Hurt along the way, how do you know?
Yeah.
It's good to have depth in that position.
No, for sure. And they're going to need it. They're going to need it on the cheap, too. You know, like you mentioned Levo at 925. That what's significant about that is the 925. He can play and put up some numbers and look like an NHL. You need cheap players.
You do.
You're going to need them at some point because there's
especially moving forward.
Exactly. Guys are going to get paid, right? Like Marner and Tavares.
We've talked about it. Like these guys need to figure out something like Pittsburgh does. Like you got to find a guy that just scores 25 goals.
Yeah.
That's coming from the minors
for
or
sure.
A Rust or a Sheary. Or you got to find these guys.
You have to.
Well, as for the Ottawa side of things, Mark Stone, I guess he was asked about a report today that he's going to want out, he's going to want to leave, and he was...
I also heard a quote that he loves it there.
Well, that's what he said,
believe,
though. He responded by saying, I don't know where this is coming from, I don't even know who that guy is, and blah, 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 but...
I mean, the original tweet, I believe, was in French, originating with TVA in Quebec, and attributed to Louis Jean, who is a real good reporter. Now... You know, what happened, I don't know. I didn't talk to Louis, but, you know, I did read his follow-up tweet, and he's asserting that it was taken out of context. And, you know, the tweet was translated and effectively read to Mark Stone, and Mark Stone then responds to a media scrum saying, I don't even know who Louis Jean is. You know, I love the time that I've spent in Ottawa. I'm most definitely, you know, looking forward to this, that, and the other thing. Look. What we know is he's a pending unrestricted free agent, along with Matt Duchene. And I'm not challenging what Mark Stone said because I don't have the information to challenge. What I know is the business side of the sport. Is Mark Stone willing to commit to an 8-year deal at whatever the number is going to be? And it's going to be a big number provided he has the year that we believe he's going to have. And the first 3-4 years of that 8 years are going to be blown out the door in a rebuild.
I can't see him wanting to do it. It's like, I want to make a lot of money. I want to be a pro hockey player, but I'm not doing that.
Well, you know? What do you do if you don't have a sense that he's going to sign in January or February?
Well, you try to get your first-round pick back. That's plain and simple.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. Like, Ottawa just experienced this with Erik Karlsson. The difference being Karlsson, like Stone, had another year remaining on his contract. Ottawa traded Erik Karlsson because they did not believe that he was ever going to honestly want to extend his deal to stay in Ottawa. So they've got to get to that place. I don't know if it's relatively soon, but it's well in advance of the trade deadline, because Pierre Dorion does not want, I'm sure, doesn't want to go through all of this all over again. And Duchesne has to be lumped into that grouping as well.
Greg, don't you think if Pierre Dorion could hit the rewind button, as soon as Erik Karlsson made the comment with the talk of Drew Doughty, and he came out and said, I'm going to be paid, and I'm going to be paid what I'm worth, that was the beginning of the end. He should have been just moved from there. Because that was basically saying, I'm getting $11-12 million and these guys aren't going to pay it to me, so yeah, you figure it out.
And I believe Ottawa was willing to pay him $11 million. But again, when you're in the position that Erik Karlsson was in,
maybe
as
just
a
flat
superstar,
out wanted to
player,
leave again.
Maybe.
Yeah,
you know, look, maybe. And look, I always side with the players going into the final year of his contract, because you know what? Mark Stone has earned his position to make a decision. He's earned it. And if he wants to, you know, see what else is out there, because he wants to challenge for a Stanley Cup in the next couple, three, 4 years, rather than be part of a rebuild, he's getting the money anyway. I got no problem with that.
Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, in studio. The Habs are playing tonight, and I think Max Domi's making his debut as a center.
Yeah.
Did they not learn what Jonathan Drouin? Max Domi hasn't played center in 10 years.
Right. And now Drouin's on the wing. That's the beauty of it.
No kidding. So
I thought
Drouin, it didn't work with him. Very similar type size, player, skill level. Why does Max Domi have to do that now?
Because they need somebody to play center.
And I get it. In the organization, if the guy brings you in your office and says, you want to try center, like your initial reaction is, no, I'm not a centerman. What are you doing? Get a centerman.
Right.
You saw it with Drouin. Why are you doing it with Domi?
Well, I don't think it's going to work.
No.
But they're so desperate. I mean, it speaks to just how weak they are up the middle of the ice. Their center ice is brutal.
The only thing I can imagine here is that Claude Julien and the coaching staff would have had a real heart-to-heart with Max Domi. And what's the player going to say? You know, to your point, if he'd been in the league a bit longer and was more confident with his role and all that, number one, it's the Montreal Canadiens. You know, a legendary organization in a city that turns rabid over hockey, good, bad, and otherwise. He doesn't want to do anything that is going to provide a negative wrinkle. So, you know, I would think that Julien likes lots of the elements of Max Domi's game. He's a pretty good skater, you know, usually pretty aggressive on the puck. You know, he's not afraid to get his nose dirty. Maybe he sees those elements and goes, yeah, he's got a lot of qualities of a center iceman. So let's at least see if he's willing to try it. Otherwise, you know, he's putting him in a real tough spot.
Yeah.
He's putting him in a
tough
spot.
They just acquired him. It's Drouin 2.0. That's what it is. It's a shot in the dark. It's a guy who you think, I mean, maybe he's got the skill set. Maybe he's got the ability. And I don't know. Maybe he shocks the world. We'll see. But I think it just amplifies the issue that has been prevalent in Montreal for a number of years. They just don't have options.
Not really.
The center ice position is brutal. Like, I look at that team on paper, they look terrible to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see Ottawa. We goof on Ottawa. It's easy to goof on Ottawa. Outside of Carey Price, Montreal doesn't look much better to me.
Yeah.
They don't. They look terrible to me.
They've got players now that can skate. So maybe that's going
to mask some
of the issues.
Yeah. But, I mean, with Weber, a healthy Weber, that changes things, but he's not healthy.
No.
He's not going to play until December or January.
Yeah, and is Carey Price healthy? I mean, we're not going to know that until we've seen him, you know, get through a quarter of the games of the season.
Right. And that, you talk about pressure on a player.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Marinara did that interview with Bergevin the other day.
I didn't hear it.
No, it was good. I mean, it was. There's lots of information in there, but one thing that was interesting for me was Bergevin using the rewords, not rebuild, refresh, restart,
right,
but staying away. Well, you can't rebuild when you've got, you know, still one of the best goaltenders in the league. Maybe if Carey doesn't play to his level this year, we start to question that, but
what won't change is he's the highest paid goalie in the league.
Right.
$10.5 million
per
starting.
That's going to stay for a while.
This year.
If you put him on the market, how many teams would call?
Oh!
Edmonton Oilers.
St. Louis probably would try and find a way, although it's a cap issue.
So you think there'd be like a
Colorado Avalanche.
So, like, more than five, maybe?
Absolutely. It's the best goalie in the world.
But he's on a contract that goes until
2025? I think this year, though, Jonas, I know where you're going. And look, the reputation of Carey Price.
Calgary Flames, Vancouver Canucks.
There are a number of teams, just by virtue of reputation and history, statistically, would take a run at him. I think if he has a healthy year, then who knows? Because don't forget... You know, and I'm talking a bit about this on Insider Trading tonight, but, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. I don't get the sense that he's in love with the idea of staying in Columbus, and we know Artemi Panarin doesn't want to stay in Columbus. I mean, there's two pretty juicy UFAs. You know, the goalie market, somebody's taking a hard run at him.
Mm-hmm. Well, imagine somebody do the old Parise-Suter deal with him. Yeah. We're getting both of you guys. That's the way you roll with that one. We're not getting one. We want both of you.
East Coast or West Coast, and I don't get the sense that there's a whole lot of wiggle room in between.
How about this Jake Dotchin character who shows up in Tampa for physicals, and he's 30 pounds overweight, and allegedly or reportedly 25% body fat. I'm pretty sure I have like 20%, and I'm a slob.
How does this guy? You'd be a bit higher.
I don't think so, man.
I'm not. No, I'm not.
You're being critical.
No.
You're being critical.
I'm not.
It's fine.
Hey, I lump myself into that category, man.
Right.
Outside of Jonas. I feel like I would be 25%.
Okay, let's say we are 25%, and I'll give you that. The fact that we are in the same boat as this guy, who's a kid who's proven nothing in the NHL, it speaks to why Tampa said, get the hell out.
You know what scares me about this? It scares me because I wonder if there's something going
on. This.
Yeah, I wonder if there's something going on that we don't know about
in his personal life.
What contributes to an NHL player who hasn't proven, as you just said, Brian, anything that he can be a full time guy? How does a kid like that take an entire summer off and gain 25 to 30 pounds? I'm worried that there's something going on that we don't know about, and that's why I'm careful as to how critical I am.
I think you're right. I mean, for his career, there's got to be an explanation. You know, he's got to be able to explain it if he wants to continue to play. And maybe this is him reaching out saying, I don't really want to be a pro player. You know, like, I'm under contract and there's some pressure and I've got to show up, but based on what I'm proving to you, I don't really want to play. But if he wants to continue his career, he's got to have an explanation. You can't show up 30 pounds overweight. Like, that's... He's 25%.
What's the worst you ever came to camp?
Don't worry about me, Jonas. Why don't you contribute to the...
I am right
show
now.
For once.
I remember a story, and we're not going to be specific to the pounds, because it doesn't really matter. And it wasn't anywhere near 25 or 30. Well, maybe it was...
It was in the ballpark.
Yeah. Where, and correct me if I'm wrong, did Paul Maurice not pull you aside at one point and said, oh?
No, he said to me, No, he said if Nick Antropov wasn't injured, we would have cut loose.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, then I started playing really good the next day, and he was like, oh, you're playing great, you're playing great. And I'm like, exactly, so shut up and leave me alone, loser.
That's awesome.
Yeah, something must be up here, though. I'm with you. Something doesn't make sense.
Well, and look,
30 pounds
or not, because again, when's the last time any team in the NHL, but in this case, a highly respected team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, turn their back on any player, let alone a young guy. Like,
yeah.
You know, when you go to the lengths of waiving a player to terminate his contract and the specifics of why get out that quickly, it's got to be bad.
That's the counter to it.
What contributed to it?
Counter to it, where these guys, they have hearts, they have souls. If he went to them and said, listen, I'm telling you, I had this, that, or the other going on, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I think they'd be like, okay, we're sending you to the minors. Maybe you're going there anyway. Mm-hmm. But, like, cut and see you later. That is a message. It is. All right, Dregs, good seeing you, man.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
There's Darren Dreger, our TSN hockey analyst. Joe Bowen will join us from Ottawa on the 6 p.m. hour. He called that game last night in Lucan, Ontario. Tavares with two goals and an assist. Marner looking good. The Leafs with a win. They're back in action tonight. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Jerry's percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
In the builders category for the 2018 class, Jerry.
That's right, you pigeons. Jerry's going to be enshrined in the hall forever and ever.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
And Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 the Queensway or online, bestpc.ca. So, you and I know how this works. We got Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic. Are you familiar with Jerry's?
I've been on your show before, yes.
Okay, so you know how
this works. Also sponsored by Jerry's Jewelers. Every kiss begins with Jerry's.
All right, so Jerry's going to have a hot take out of the gate. Well, he's going to have a statement out of the gate. Because I don't believe he's doing this live from New York. I'm pretty sure he's halfway around the world. You want to hear from Jerry?
This is Hall of Fame Jerry calling in takes from Beijing, where the Chinese actually show respect for a legend. Nothing but cheers for Jerry on this side of the globe. If Jerry had it his way, he'd flip Canada with China geographically and live happily ever after. Forever and ever. I'll do a Pierre LeBrun chair move for Canada.
Cumulated. That was completely uncalled for.
Unnecessary.
Another Pierre LeBrun shot by Jerry. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, he hates Pierre.
I thought we made a rule about that.
No.
And he hates Canada, as we know, and he loves China. He's over in China because the Bruins and the Flames are over there, and they played again today.
Gee, I wonder if they're going to the next Olympics. Like, I wonder.
Yeah. It would almost be shocking if they didn't get there. Although it'll be collectively bargained, and that'll be a part of the whole debate, and Players Association, and the league. And anyway, Jerry's over in Beijing having a great time, and I guess they are showing him a lot of respect. Nothing but cheers for Jerry.
Didn't they do the same thing for Trump?
When he was in China?
Yeah, do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
They did
like
a whole big parade. And
oh, that's right, yeah. In Saudi Arabia, they hooked him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, I don't know. Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
You guys ready for the hot takes from Jerry?
Here's some lava for all you loser Leaf fans salivating over one stupid preseason game. If they stay healthy, both Tavares and Marner will finish with over 80 points. Those sons of bitches looked like Gretzky and Curry last night. Old Noodles was hating it from Ottawa, wasn't he?
Now, that's not fair, because I'm sure Noodles was enjoying watching that display from Tavares and Marner last night.
No, he wasn't.
And Noodles is calling a Leaf game tonight, and he's very impartial. Leaf sends on TSN 4 and on TSN 5. But the gist of that is that if they're healthy, let's presume they play 82 games together, Tavares and Marner will both finish with 80-plus points.
65% for me. Both healthy, 80-plus points. That's high. That must seem high. But healthy, I think these guys are going to be dialed in. And if they get that power play unit with Austin Matthews and they're both on it, as has been mentioned, that's going to be some pointage. 65%.
I think I'd actually go higher. Like, I'm going to put it at 75. Tavares had 84 points, I believe, last year. He had 37 goals. And now he's playing with Marner, and now, like you mentioned, the power play. Like, he had 30 power play points last year. Imagine, like, what the possibilities are this year. And Marner in the second half was, like, a top 10 scorer. So maybe 75 is even low?
I'm going to go lower than that, though, because Mitch Marner had a brilliant second half. Brilliant. And there were times in the first half when he was on the fourth line and he was playing with Bozak as opposed to Tavares, and that's a big, big difference. But making that jump from 69 to 80, it doesn't feel significant, but it is. I mean, that puts you in a whole new category. And there's only so much ice time to go around. And the past couple of years, the power play in Toronto has gone through Mitch Marner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if that will continue. Now that Matthews is on that line,
how can it not, though?
Because if Matthews is there, Matthews clearly, he wants to be on that top unit, but he doesn't want to be a decoy.
Yeah, but
the puck's got to hit his stick.
But if you're them, Marner has to be kind of your conductor.
Right? I would do that.
On the right side, and you put Matthews on the left, and you've got Tavares by the net and Kadri in the middle. Like, you just have tons of options.
You do have options. I guess what I'm saying is last year, the other side, I think, was Bozak, and when he touched the puck, it was like, get it off your stick and send it back to Mitch. If Matthews gets it on his stick, he's not thinking, I got to get it over to Mitch. He's going to be making plays on his own. It's going to change.
But it would start with Marner.
I would assume if everything sets up properly, it should go through Marner. I think with ice, his vision and his attention to detail and his talents are just amplified in those positions. But for both of them to hit 80-plus is asking a lot. When there's only so many minutes to go around, I think they both get 70-plus. But I'm going to say 45%.
Wow.
45%.
That's low.
45%.
If it were up to Babs, Josh Levo would be shipped off to Beijing permanently. But Dubas will win this battle, and Levo will be in the opening night lineup. 6'2", can skate and shoot. He must have some bar play. So does Bill Daly.
Is Bill Daly over in China, too? I haven't seen him. I don't know.
I don't know.
Levo needs to find another tooth, though, for him to have some bar play. He's got that.
You don't need a tooth when you play for the Leafs.
Jerry's got him in the lineup opening night. One of the 12 forwards playing against the Montreal Canadiens.
I'm
going to
say 78% because I just want it to happen. I like the kid. I think he's a good player. I think he's an NHL player. I don't know where in the lineup he goes, but I'm saying 78% because I want to see it.
I'll say like 7%.
But know this before you answer. Regardless of the power in the organization, Mike Babcock makes that lineup.
Yes, absolutely. And he should. He's the head coach.
Yes.
So that's exactly the point. I'll say 7%.
I'm going 78% because I'm hoping. I think it should be that way. But if Mike Babcock doesn't want it that way, he makes the lineup every night. And I'm pretty sure that was when he signed his contract. Pay me whatever you want. But when it comes to that lineup on that yellow piece of paper, I'm writing it.
Yep, it should be.
Okay, 7%.
7% for Jones.
The only way I can see it happening is if Nylander continues to be without a contract on opening night and someone gets hurt.
I'm looking at it differently. I don't think it's a coincidence he was on the line he was on last night. You know, a lot of people are focused on Tyler Ennis, and they're saying, wow, Ennis is getting an opportunity to show himself. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
He's in a position that he will never have.
Yes.
That is William Nylander's spot. Tyler Ennis is never going to push him out of the lineup. Where else is Ennis going to play? This idea that Tyler Ennis, I don't know if he's a better player than Josh Levo. He's been in the league a long time. He just got bought out for a reason. So you're telling I get the impression it's either Ennis or Levo on that third line.
No,
if Lindholm stays with Johnsson and Kapanen,
I think that whole Johnsson thing is
okay. But then on the fourth
rookie,
line,
you're a rookie.
That's fine. But then on the fourth line, who is the other winger? I guess is what I'm getting to. Matt Ennis. Martin's not here anymore. Who is it?
Ennis.
Okay, I think Josh Levo can outplay Tyler Ennis.
Or it's one of those guys from the Marlies who somehow I don't see it
like Grundstrom or something.
Somebody like that.
I think Levo should have the upper hand. I think he's better than those guys.
But we know how Mike Babcock feels.
Right. I know that, but that was with Matt Martin kicking around. That's with Van Riemsdyk on the left side. That's with Leo Komarov here. Guys have left, and they haven't filled those spots. Wow. So I'm going to say 60%.
Wow.
Listen.
You guys are operating
Jerry's
with your
right.
hearts. I'm operating with my mind.
No, Jerry's right. Based on the past 2 years, Babcock...
3 years?
3 years has basically intimated he would prefer Josh Levo was living in Beijing, China, and not in front of him every day at the MasterCard Center in the ACC. I just don't know what the option is.
Did you hear his reaction when someone told him that Levo was excited that he was playing with Kadri and Brown? Not happy. Not impressed.
Really?
Oh,
I missed out on that.
You gotta watch that clip.
When was that?
That was over the weekend in Niagara. So we were talking to Levo, and he said, you know, and rightfully so, like, he was excited. He's like, I'm on a regular line. I'm playing with regulars. That kind of gives me some extra motivation. And you know how Mike Babcock is. If he hears that, ball game.
What's wrong with that? I don't understand what is wrong
with that. It's basically, because he said basically that in past years he wasn't in training camp lines with guys who are going to make the team.
Right.
And you know Babcock, he's like, you determine your destiny. If you think that matters, then...
I love that. It's not true, though, because Babcock, like, I love Babcock.
It is and it's not.
No, but he's like, you know, the power play, they're going to figure it out. You go out there and score. No, that's not true. You know, like, that's not the way it works. You know, whoever goes out there and plays the best, they're going to play. No.
Well, that's what happened last year. They didn't use Matthews.
When? That's on the power play, but I'm talking about in general. You know, like a kid will come up and Josh Levo's a great example. Like Levo Smith. Would score goals and it'd be like, you're out of the lineup.
Ben Smith and all those fourth line centers
anyway,
he likes.
I think Levo's got a shot just based on, I don't know who the other options are. Tyler Ennis.
What's that line about those who ignore history are doomed to,
to repeat it? That's right. We'll see.
Patrick Mahomes will throw for 50-plus touchdowns this season.
Well, he's got 10 through 2 weeks. He's got 14 more games to throw 40 touchdowns. That's asking a lot for a rookie quarterback. But he's got maybe the best offensive weapons in the league real close. You know, Pittsburgh would be there if Le'Veon Bell was in camp. But you got Tyreek Hill. You've got Kelsey at tight end. You've got Kareem Hunt on running back. Mahomes looks legit, man. I think there's a chance he throws for 50.
I'm going to say 70%. He could just be this, the new thing in the NFL.
The new Carson Wentz?
Yeah. Deshaun Watson.
Well, and that's what's going on
in
the NFL.
By the way, there is some jackass in a high school that made comments about Deshaun.
Yeah, I saw that. About you can't win with a black quarterback or whatever. Like, the guy's just a dope. Like, he's an idiot.
Should be thrown in jail.
Yeah, it's just, well,
anyway,
it's such a stupid take. But anyway, I'm not going to go really high on this because he's got a reality check coming at some point. He is a rookie.
He does.
But with all those weapons and his arm looks great and Andy Reid's a wizard in terms of offense, I'm going to give him 30%. Which is crazy. 30% for 50 touchdowns as a rookie.
But what did I say? 70?
You were really high.
80? I'll go 80.
Okay.
Wow. I'll go between 40%. I just think if they traded Alex Smith, who's like a reliable quarterback, Andy Reid must know something or have some inclination that this guy was going to be good.
Watch the tape for the first 2 weeks. Right? He's done that on the road in L.A. and in Pittsburgh. He hasn't played a home game. He's got 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
His kid is money. And
flat money,
and the way the NFL is trending with offensive numbers and quarterbacks putting up crazy stats, I mean, we'll see.
Josh Gordon will finish the season with the New England Patriots.
If he does one stupid f-ing thing, he'll be gonzo, mark my words.
I think Jerry's right about that. He was at practice today. He's got a number, he's got a stall. The hammy must have checked out. They're in Detroit, I believe, on Monday night. Matt Patricia, who has been a disaster, going up against his former team, Belichick, coming off a bad loss in Jacksonville. But I don't really trust Josh Gordon, you know? I mean, I hope it works out for him. It's all been self-inflicted pain. By all accounts, he hasn't ruined anybody else's life.
I don't trust the guy either. It's like sometimes when you just got that and you're... The demons are in you. I don't know. Just something happens. I'm going to give it 35%.
That
35 is just because it's just a great football opportunity, and you would think you'd be smart enough to realize that,
right.
But I still think that it could fall off the deep end on the other side.
Well, and I think what Jerry said is appropriate. I'm sure Belichick has already read him the riot act and said, it's simple, man. You're here 1 second late. You're cut.
Yeah.
If I hear of you doing anything, you're cut.
Yes.
Like, we don't owe you anything. We're giving you an opportunity. It's a great opportunity. But I don't trust him, man. I just don't. This guy's been suspended. Yeah. He's missed two
35.
Full seasons.
35.
I'm going to say 25%.
I'll say 20. Just because, like, we've seen in the past, they sometimes have taken on guys like this and kind of turned them around. But, like, we would look at Randy Moss as one big example. But Randy Moss wasn't. This.
He never got suspended for 2 years.
He didn't stop playing
for
5 years.
Right. He just, you know, talked a lot and mooned people and stuff like that. But
yeah.
And Randy Moss, you know, everyone's using the comparison because Gordon's 6'4", 220, can run a 4.3 40. He's not Randy Moss.
No.
He never has been. He never will be.
Well, he had one really good year in
exceptional year. We led the league in receiving yards, I believe, and had, you know, 15 touchdowns, and then the demons found him, man, and he hasn't been the same ever since. But the Pats would love if he stays clean and performs with Gronk and with Edelman. They got options, man, and Brady.
Well, and they signed Cordarrelle Patterson.
Right.
I don't remember how to say his name.
Cordarrelle, I don't know either. Corduroy.
But he's a similar kind of case in some ways, like a guy with like really high potential who just didn't...
Can't put it together. He had a great year in Mini, and then he was like, see you later.
Take this one to the bank. The failing Ottawa Senators will be the worst Canadian team this season. Wait for it.
Does he ever say they're a team?
He must have not put it in.
Did he cut it out? Because I thought Jerry was going to make a joke about Pierre Dorion last night.
What a dope. He wrecked it.
Graps. The grappler.
Do you have any explanation for what you just did?
No, that was all that was recorded.
Attaboy. No. Not
there
the grappler.
There was no addition to the script.
Right. It was Jerry. Jerry's calling him from Beijing.
He was supposed to say, wait for it. We're a team. Which was very bizarre.
Yeah, that was a scene out of Curb Your Enthusiasm pregame last night. Pierre Dorion with just a softball on a tee. You should crush that question. And it turns into a Curb Your Enthusiasm skit. Anyway, Jerry's got Ottawa as a lock. 7 out of 7. The worst Canadian team.
Lock. Yeah, lock.
You're saying 100%? 100%.
As much as I don't like Montreal, they're whore-awful.
I've been watching hockey and sports too long to ever say 100%. Because I don't think Vancouver's going to be great either. Vancouver, they could be in for a long season. Their fans want them to tank. They want Jack Hughes. They want Quinn and Jack, and they want their GM to step up there, do his thing, like The Undertaker, or like Paul Bearer.
We're going to take Quinn Hughes, brother Jack.
That's what they're hoping for. The draft is in Vancouver next year.
We really want Jack Hughes.
So I'm not putting Vancouver on a pedestal. Montreal, I don't think is very good. If Carey Price is poor or gets hurt, Montreal's right there.
Game over. 100%, though. They're the worst.
60%.
Dude, it's 100.
60%.
Don't piss around. It's 100.
There's three teams. Ottawa, Montreal, and Vancouver all have the potential to be a bottom five team.
If you were Ottawa, would you be at all
thinking...
Put
the percentage on it, Beagle.
Okay, 40%.
40%?
Yeah, I still think Montreal could be bad, and I still think Vancouver could be bad. But what I was going to say before you interrupted... If you were Ottawa, would you be concerned with like trading any of these guys like Stone or Duchesne because it's going to make you worse?
Any team that buckles, like the Leafs did it, they kept JVR, they kept
Bosa.
You got to keep some players.
But I'm saying because the chances of them getting the number one pick will go up, and then that's even more embarrassment.
They don't give a rat's ass about the number one pick because they're not getting it.
Yeah, but it's going to be. I know exactly what you're saying is. Because this is what the Leafs did with the Lindros draft. They had traded the pick away, and they had to go out there and acquire players so that they weren't dead last.
Yeah.
Because they were like, we can't finish last and hand this pick over first overall to New Jersey. So they had to acquire players to make sure that they didn't finish last. I think that's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm
saying. Ottawa wants to
be good
enough.
You don't want to be embarrassed.
I know that. But the lottery is ultimately going to determine that.
Give it the LeBron chair noise.
About what?
Getting
signing
new players, yeah. Oh, yeah, you want to spend money?
I think you got to sign Stone. I think they almost have to sign Duchesne because he's the linchpin of the whole problem. You acquired him and gave
up
that
pick. You don't want to make everything worse.
But he's not. He's a good player.
He's a good player, so Stone. But, like, where is that?
But who's going to play for you? At some point, like, this is where you use the Maple Leaf comparison. Now, these guys are at a much higher price point. But Kadri's still here. Gardner's still here.
Yeah.
You know, Bozak stuck around. You need some players to stick around and be here in 3 or 4 years when you hopefully dig yourself out of it. So,
but you're going to have to overpay those players, maybe.
You might have to. Now, I think Stone is worth almost every penny he's going to get. He's a really good player. Yep. Really good player. You know,
and but I don't are know the assets that you could get back in a trade more valuable?
Well, I think
you're not good.
You ask how many first round picks can you get, because they've got to get first rounders. They got to get a first round pick in this upcoming draft. You're tanking, and you don't have a pick in 2019.
Scary stuff.
Scary. That is Jerry's Percentages, brought to you by Best Portuguese Chicken
and Jerry's Jewelers. Every kiss begins with Jerry.
Joe Bowen live from Ottawa ahead of the game tonight. It's Leafs Sens, Austin Matthews going, Freddie Anderson going. Sounds like Rasmus Sandin. Is it Sandin or Sandin? I always screw that up.
Grappler, you screwed me on the percentages. It says we're a team. I know I said it.
No, we got it right here.
Al, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
we can go through the recording during break.
Doesn't say it.
It's all good. The grappler, he pays attention to detail. He gets in the corners.
Well, why would they let it go that long if there was nothing said?
It was an awkward pause because you said that you had said it. I was waiting for, or Jerry said that he had said it.
I said it. Yeah. I'll go in there and find it, grappler.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Joe Bowen in the next hour. Leafs Sens tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Leafs Sens preseason game number 2 of 8. Austin Matthews will be playing tonight. Par Lindholm making his debut. Looking forward to seeing him play. I've never seen him play before. And Freddie Anderson going as well. So we'll catch up with Joe Bowen in the next hour. Some Super Bowl news. Super Bowl is going to be in Atlanta this year. The halftime show has been announced. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Jimmy Butler apparently wants out of Minny. And he's listed 3 teams he's willing to sign an extension with. He's got another year left on his deal.
You see the teams?
This is such a red flag.
Oh, man.
Brooklyn, the Clippers, and the Knicks. Jimmy Butler has won nothing in his career. Nothing. And those are the 3 teams he wants to go to? That is a huge red flag.
I think it has something to do with cap space for next year.
Yes. I mean, the Clippers are going to have... They have so much cap space. The Knicks are slowly but surely opening some stuff up. And the Nets have been in a dungeon for about 2 or 3 years because of Garnett and Pierce and Williams, but they're finally digging themselves out of it. I do think that it comes down to money, but it also comes down to him wanting to be a star in a big city, but not play for good teams. Like, it's interesting that the Lakers weren't included in that, and that says to me he doesn't want to play with LeBron. He doesn't want to play second fiddle.
Or they're not going to trade for him?
How does he know, though? How does anybody know who's going to acquire Jimmy Butler? Yeah. Unless his agent's been kicking tires already. Anyway, we'll get into that conversation in the next hour. Jonah Siegel in here from The Athletic, The O-Dog. I'm Brian Hayes. Leafs Sens tonight. We'll tee it up in the final hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.